Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey, everybody. It is Coach Chris here from the Play in Faith podcast, and I'm excited. We got a fantastic episode tonight. We have a fantastic high school coach, a state champion winner from Fairfield High School, coached the girls. Now he's on the guys' side of things. So it is our pleasure tonight to welcome Coach Brody Garber. Coach, how are you doing this evening?
Very good. Glad to be a part of this, and I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, us too, man. Well, thank you for sitting down and chatting with us. So we tend to release these a few weeks after we record, but we are just now at the tail end of March. So high school basketball has just wound down for the most part, except for a blessed few teams. The season is over here in Indiana. So tell me a little bit about this season and kind of what you're doing right now at Fairfield.
Yeah, as on the guys' side, this is my second year as the head coach of the guys. I've assisted them the previous year before that. We went 16-6 this year. One thing that we're really proud of is in our schedule. So we had six losses. Two of them came to Westview, who's playing in the state finals here coming up.
Good ball club.
One of them is to Columbia City, who almost made the state finals.
Yeah,
and then Northridge, who got beat by a very good Crown Point team on Saturday. I was at that game, actually. They were our other loss. And to say that we lost, I think, five out of our six games there were to people that almost got to the state finals. We're really proud of that. And had six seniors that we're really proud of that are moving on, and they're going to be great young men. One of them, my son's going to go on and play college basketball. And the other guys are just going to be some good dudes, great students.
Seniors
averaged a 3.85 GPA. Their SAT, this is the thing that's crazy. Their SAT was like a 1280 ish.
Really? Okay, that's getting it done.
So I'm telling you what, they're just good guys, good, and they come from great families, right? I mean, that helps too. So we're just really proud of the seniors that exit the program and, really, really good season. It's rarely do you say as a coach, you won the ones you should have won, and you probably lost the ones that you should have, because usually every year there's, we got a couple from somebody.
There's one, agonizing over it.
Man, this year we didn't do that, and I don't know if I've ever been able to say that before.
Yeah, you guys had a heck of a season. When you talk about, dropping the one to Northridge, a lot of our listeners are all over the country. A lot of them are local, but a lot of them are all over the country. That's playing upper class. Like, Northridge is substantially larger school than you. They were one game away from headed down to Indy. So all those teams were in the Final Four. It's like a heck of a schedule. And we talk a lot on this show too about, look, the careers end at some point, whether it's JV, whether it's varsity, whether it's college. Blessed few get a paycheck for it. We're going to be husbands, community leaders, church leaders, entrepreneurs, a much, much longer than we're athletes. So when you're putting up a near 1300 and a near 4.0 GPA, man, you're getting the important stuff right. So obviously this is your second season with the guys. So if we take a step back before that, you were on the girls side at Fairfield. How many years were you the girls coach?
Boy, the assistant, I was for 8 years, and then jumped when former coach Steve Proctor moved on. I jumped in. My daughter at that point would have been a second grader. And that was 11 years as the girls head coach. And there was just a little hiatus where I did an assistant with the boys for 1 year. And then ever since that. So, altogether 20 years in the girls program, and that would have been 11 was as a head coach.
Nice. And so the career capped in absolute dream fashion. So obviously moved to the boys' side, but you rode off into the sunset. That was your daughter's senior year, correct?
Yeah.
And you guys captured the 3A state title here in Indiana. So what is it like coaching a state championship team with your daughter playing a prominent, if not starring role along the way? That has to be just an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, I kind of, when you're going through it, it's like the level of just playing there in general as a coach is like I feel like an ultra level. All right. That's just, Yeah, you always you watch the state tournament game. Sometimes I would go, and you kind of sit there and you wonder, could that be me? Could that be us? And you just kind of dream a little bit. And so there you go with that. And then number two, my daughter, who kind of led us all the way through, and she had three other classmates that were basically daughters to me, just very, very close. It's not
Oh,
quite
I
that
understand.
I got to know very well. Their families that were friends. My wife was an assistant coach.
Awesome.
In that, and being an alum from Fairfield, graduated in 1995, and I just felt that a little bit, I don't know if responsibility is the right word, but there was a little bit of like we were the first ones to get to and win that. And I just still remember to this day walking out on the court when the girls were warming up, the coaches come a little bit behind them, and you have that for your hair stands on end a little bit more. Like we all kind of felt that.
Oh yeah.
Like the hair on my forearms were just, it was just straight up and just that feeling.
Yeah.
Then the ball gets tossed up and it's like, okay, here we are, basketball. And it really
Let's just
did feel like
play.
a normal basketball game at that point. But
Yeah.
just all those feels going on at one time and just so many emotions. I kind of rode those emotions out. It took me 2 or 3 days. About the third day back at school, I just hit a wall. I went home and for, I think it was 18 out of the next 24 hours, I slept.
Because
And
it's so much emotion. It is draining. The end of a season
was.
is draining, even at
It
a
was.
lower level. It's so exhausting.
Yep.
So that's
So we were
wild.
just.
For those who don't, they got our state championship is played in Gainbridge, which is where the Fever and the Pacers play. So you're talking about 22,000 seat arena. We had a cool opportunity this summer to take our little ones there just for giggles, right? So I brought my little fifth graders down there, and as you walk out of the tunnel on the court, you kind of look around, and you're like, wow. And then, for our girls, you're like, if you want to play here again, we got to put some work in the next 5 or 6 years. But it is, you walk out and you just kind of look around. But then by 3 minutes in, even at that age, they just played. They just played basketball. They forgot they were like on Caitlin Clark's court,
But that's a great way to kind of almost an introduction to this is what could be, but also the
Yeah.
great reminder of there's things that have to be done
Oh yeah.
between now and then. And those girls, when they were younger, people always ask me, like, when they were younger, elementary coming up, did you see like state championship caliber? And I don't know, like state championships kind of dreaming kind of big. I knew they were going to be
Right.
champions. I knew they were going to win sectionals and conferences, but like you start talking state championship, like that's
Yeah.
that's kind of big. And always on the anniversary of it, we always watch the game on the anniversary of it. So that would have came
That's awesome.
February 25th. I'll remember that, 2023, February 25th. And it was the day before my birthday, so that's really easy to remember.
That's incredible. And just what an unbelievable lifelong memory. And obviously, I think you make a good point. You say, your daughter and three others that you think of that way. I coach at a much, much younger level, but just finished like my first cycle with our first group where we had them for 5 years. Now pass them on to high school, start over again. And I think I even said that at our banquet Friday, as like, as I'm recognizing my daughter who got some nice awards and kind of our MVP, that I forget sometimes which one's mine. As much as I love her, like they do start to feel like your family. And so that's got to be interesting, but it's also an interesting dynamic where you're coaching obviously a very high level team. If you're getting to that level, and your daughter right now is playing at Indiana Wesleyan, correct? So I think we've had for those of you who listen to our show, we've had Coach Whaley on before. So she's in good hands, man. Ethan's incredible. So obviously you're coaching your daughter who is a college caliber player, and not just a college caliber player. If you're going to IWU, you are excellent, excellent, excellent. You're going to compete for national titles in the NAIA level. But you also are responsible for the nurturing of all these other careers. It's such a tightrope to walk. So, what is that experience? I'm going to assume that your daughter was your best player, but not overwhelmingly so, right? I mean, you had a lot of college-ish level talent and very high varsity level talent. So, how do you walk that line of your kid's the best player, but everybody needs that same nurturing?
It kind of comes down to we always told our kids that when you're a coach's kid, all eyes are on you for a lot of different reasons, and it may not even be your ability.
Yeah.
Number one, you have to be the hardest worker in the gym. One, just to set that example for others. But number two, then when it's like you get all of that, you get all the playing time and all that. Oh yeah, she or he works really, really hard. So there's no doubt about that. The other kids, I mean, we make it up front before I started coaching. Hey, look, everybody else besides my daughter Bria and my son Brant, yes, they're on the team, but they're just like you. They're just like anybody else. They're going to get coached hard. They're going to be gotten on, and all that. Like, there's no favoritism, whatsoever.
Sure.
Easy to say, really, really hard to do. And at times, I've had to ask my assistant coaches,
All the
how am
time.
I doing that? Like the accountability piece in all walks of life, right, is really, really important. And we've really had to do that where, hey, my assistants, you've got to, like, if you ever see anything, and sometimes when you're the head coach, like, your assistants don't want to, like, pop open and say something. And I'll have to actually do the asking and just say,
Sure.
hey, fellas, the last couple of days, how have I been? And, I would say 9 times out of 10, they're like that. If anything, if I'm honest, Chris, a lot of times they said, you're hard, too hard on your kids and not enough on
Yes.
the others. And I said,
Yes.
okay. And I was
Yeah.
okay with that.
That's where I actually was going to take you next because I've been doing a bunch of research on this topic. So, working on a book project, we have some collaborators, and the theme is this idea of how do we coach our child victoriously, not just on and off the court, right? Where we are doing everything that you're doing as a coach, but we're also nurturing this relationship that is ultimately far more important than any wins or losses. And the research is overwhelming, empirically shows the overcorrection factor, where it's not that we are giving our kid the benefit of the doubt, it's that they are getting coached much harder. And I know even at our banquet Friday, I said that to my daughter as she won a large award. Her teammates voted on it as well. She was our leading scorer, led in assists, led in steals. She's a 4.0 student. She's student body president. She deserved that award. And I agonized over whether or not she should get it. If she wasn't my child, duh. Right? I mean, she was our primary ball handler. She led us in every statistical category, and the off-court stuff is unparalleled. But because she's my kid, we held her back a little bit. And I think I even acknowledged that at times where it's tough being the coach's kid. Anyway, the research shows that most of the time we overcorrect and withhold praise and are a little more critical. So, in those moments when you ask one of your coaches and they say, "Hey, Brody," or "Hey, Coach Garber," a little too much, man. Like this kid's playing fantastic. Back off a little. So, how do you correct in that moment, or what were some of those conversations like?
There was one time, and I do remember, I can still remember this practice, unfortunately, where Bri had not had a good practice, a little lethargic, just whatever, things were just going on. I was really hard on her. And then, water drink or whatever, coach kind of tugs me on my shirt a little bit and just says, hey, you need to back off. And talk about not being a dad of the year. We ended up getting her blood tested soon thereafter. And she was low iron. And
So not lazy.
but yeah,
Whoops.
no. And
Oh.
here's the thing, like, you just talked about how we kind of maybe hold our own kids as we coach them a little bit higher level. And I just
Yeah.
talked about, you got to be the hardest worker in the gym. I just got done talking about
You
that.
do? Yeah.
And but I didn't have I had the blinders on where what dad should have noticed is there must be something wrong with her, like physically a little bit or whatever.
Right.
But it was like total coach mode, which we've always told our kids, like, when we're in that gym, like, I'm your coach, whatever. When we walk out, the practice is done. Yeah, I'm dad at that point. But I really, really didn't. And that was just a, it was a great reminder for me. And
Yeah.
thankfully it was like, I think our freshman or sophomore year that, yes, like you said, I am coach, but there's still got to be times where that dad's kind of got to be there too in situations like that. Like, I should have
Yeah.
noticed that. I should have said, hey, Bria, come over here. You're not feeling well, like, but I didn't. And I still to this day, now we joke about it at home. We didn't at that time being at that. But yeah, that wasn't the year I won Father of the Year award when I got on you really, really hard and you had low iron and
Whoops. At least you could laugh about it now. And
yes,
then
now we
obviously
can.
the relationship is good. I do think it's that very difficult balance. And there's so many different dynamics at play. I've always said coaching your kid is easiest if they are overwhelmingly your best player and your hardest worker, or if they're just average and you're well aware of it.
Yeah.
The really, really tricky one is when they're probably our second or third best player. A reasonable person could put them fifth or sixth on the depth chart. And I found with my oldest daughter, she was a late bloomer. So in like fifth grade, she could have been our third or fourth best player. She could have been our sixth. So guess who didn't get to start? My kid, because we overcorrected, right? Like I didn't want the target on her. As she got a little older, like we don't really have to deal with that part too much. But I am aware if there's a game where she's 2 of 11 from the floor because it's just not going down. You can see a couple, there's always a couple parents shaking their head or like, oh, well, the coach is gay. So that is like, so obviously your daughter became, one of your best players, if not your best player. Was it always that way? Or like growing up when she's fifth or sixth grade, was she clearly that girl or?
From the very beginning, and a lot of it just came down to she was tall all the way through. She ended up being 6 foot, but she handled the ball all the time. Like, we weren't going to do this whole hey, you're a tall kid, put you inside. Like, she dribbled, she would run the point, like, all the way through. Even on our state team, at times she's bringing the ball up. She obviously worked hard, and she was our best player, which the dynamic with my son was, he wasn't really the best player. You can go to that third, fourth, whatever, but he was the hardest worker. He was the most locked in kid. And we just had our banquet last Thursday. And my statement I left with for everybody, and this is kind of what I wanted, what was Dad's last words to me at him being my coach? I've coached baseball. I've coached 47 seasons of sports, 26 of them as a head coach. I dubbed him the best leader that I've ever coached, and I don't know who would be second.
That's
So
awesome.
they were a little bit different in terms of she had all that talent. Brant had talent, but he was just a darn good leader. And like, there was no question, like, well, why is he getting to play? He only made two baskets. Well, there were times he only made two baskets, but if he wasn't on the court, the team's functionality just would not. So he kind of had that going for him. Bria just straight up, like, she had to be out there because she could do everything.
It's such different situations, and I find that I think you made a great point earlier too that you're calibrating and having conversations with your assistants and a staff that you can trust, because it is a lonely place to be as the parent of one of the star players, but also the coach. It is You're always second guessing yourself. You're At least for me, I'm always hyper cognizant of, am I putting an unfair target on my kid's back? What is this relationship doing? And so even this weekend with my younger one, she's probably more in like kind of like Bria's category, where even if it doesn't pop off on the stat sheet, like we need her to get the ball up the court. We need her to defend the other team's best, but we just don't function well when we're not playing through her. And there's times where I'll have my assistant coach who coaches with our varsity boys too, so you probably know him. I'm like, hey, can you go talk to Pate, right? And so this weekend he tells her, because we're scuffling offensively. Kid only took two shots in the first half. I think we've got like 14 turnovers, but she's making good passes, but like she's playing so unselfishly. And he tells her, I would rather for the rest of your career, I would rather you go 0 for 10. I don't ever want to see you just take two shots and a half ever again. If I say that, it's a little dicey. Of course, she goes out the next game. I think she took him literally. I was like, she took him up on that 0 for 10. I was like, dude, I was like, I mean, everything was right online, just rattled out. But I mean, I think that's good to have an assistant coach who can have that conversation, with your kids. So, all right, so let me back up a little bit. So, good point. Your daughter said so your coach in the gym, your dad outside the gym. What did she call you during practice?
Ooh, I don't remember her wanting to call me anything. Like, I don't remember her saying coach, dad, whatever. I mean, the relationships I had with those girls, like, if she would have, like, accidentally or sometimes said dad, like, they wouldn't have batted an eye, just because of how much we'd been together, and a lot of that. So I don't remember any of that. We with her, especially because when the kids were younger, they had to ride home with me. That's one thing. If you think about that, and if you've never coached your own kid, that's a dynamic where we talked about how we walked outside the school door, like, literally that door would shut outside the school. Coach is done unless you bring something up. Like, if you want to bring something up, say, hey, dad, what about that? Okay, we'll talk basketball. But like, I did not go home. People think I'm crazy because I'm like you are basketball crazy, right? And I'm always thinking, whatever. We didn't talk basketball. Maybe there was a game on TV that night. We didn't talk about
Interesting.
practice. We didn't talk about games. we made it a very big point as a family to just drop it at the door. We get in, we're riding home, like, well, did you have a lot of homework today? It was not, why'd you miss so many shots? There was still that, like, life goes on, and that was important to us. And I know to this day, because girls hold on to things way more, right? And so my son just kind of drops things or whatever. And like still this day, Bria will, she'll write me some notes sometimes, and she just wrote me one. Ooh, my birthday was February 26th. So she wrote me one, sent it, she was at school. And it still talks about, I appreciate how you were dad at home and you're a coach at on the basketball court. And that separation that sometimes you wonder, did I do it well? Well, if she's still talking about it 4 years later, I think maybe we, as best as we can, we probably got it right.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I joke around. My younger one's a psycho. Like, it is coach. It is coach, coach. As soon as we go in the gym, coach, coach, coach. As soon as we leave, it'll be dad. And sometimes she still wants to talk hoops. She's like, coach. She's like, I mean, dad. And so we'll actually have the clip. It's like the show Severance, if you've seen it on Apple. Like, you walk out, it's like, whoosh, like we're a whole new person. And sometimes we'll be in the car and she wants to talk basketball. And I'll even ask him, like, who are you talking to? Are you talking to coach or talking to dad? Because dad's going to say, you're doing amazing. I'm super duper proud of you. If it's in coach mode, it's going to be, you're getting your shot off a little too slow. If you can pick up loaded on your left foot, you're going to get it off. But dad's going to be like, are you kidding me? You're playing amazing. So it is good to have that healthy distinction. And I imagine for you, with your like especially with your daughter, if you grew up coaching them, like for us, like my older daughter, these kids have spent the night at our house. I drive them around, I feed them, we take them places, so they talk trash to me, like I'm just their buddy. So it is interesting, like in the gym, your coach. So any tough moments along the way? Like, I know I've had this discussion with Coach Krebs and Caitlin, who are just Caitlin's similar in age to Bria, maybe like a year or two
1 year
older.
old.
Okay, let's say probably coming up the same way. They've both been on our show and gotten to know them well. And they chuckle that obviously their relationship is amazing and wonderful. There were some times, right, where it's easy now in retrospect. So were there some tough times where maybe not to the point of like, should I be coaching my daughter, but just some tough moments of like, does this dynamic work? And there's some things we need to address.
We hit it off the bat. I can remember distinctly Adrian team camp. I always took the girls to team camp. Bria was just coming into her freshman year. We knew she had to play varsity, but I didn't know like how much yet. Should she be starting? Whatever. Well, we go to that team camp, and after like the first couple of games, she's our best player already at that point. So, we kind of start loading up a little bit more. I really rode her hard. It was like the third or fourth game because you play so many games in one day. We leave the gym, and I was thinking to myself, I had no assistants at that game because they were coaching the JV. I was just thinking to myself, I think I was just too hard on her. She comes up to me and kind of bumps me and says, "Hey, Dad, like, what do you think of that official? Wasn't that one official kind of funny? Whatever." He was like, she starts talking about the way the official was, and I like, so she walks off with the rest of her friends and the team, and I'm just like, wait a minute, I just rode her really, really hard about not doing what I think she should do. She can come up to me 5 minutes later and just
She's
chit chat
fine.
like nothing. Like, that was for me the slap in the face. Like, I'm the adult. She's the kid. She's handling it better than me. And she was like 14 years old. And so it wasn't like we didn't have that drag it out moment, but that was the moment where I was just like, I got to do a better job of kind of just letting things go. The game is done, especially when I'm around them. Okay, I can watch film later in the night and kind of get mad or whatever, but not when I'm hanging out in the living room with my family. And I like that was one moment of somebody to say, like, what was the moment that kind of kickstarted like how you're going to coach your kids? That was very appealing. And all it was is she was just laughing and giggling about some official. And I just remember I just
She's
got
just
done. I was
playing.
all over you. And so
She's totally
that
fine.
really, set the tone.
See, that's awesome. I think that would be one of the toughest things as a coach. And I even joke with like our varsity staff is like, it's a good time to pass them along because I don't think Kendall's quite, or I shouldn't have said her name. I don't think my daughter is quite to where Bria was at that age. But given our program, it's quite possible that she will be on the floor some. Also quite possible that she's not physically ready. She's a very late bloomer and a child, and that would be an agonizing decision to make as a varsity coach with a freshman, because there's such a magnifying glass on a freshman kid who's related to the coach. So that's an interesting one. But obviously she handled that transition very, very well. And yeah, at the end of the day, like, kids just want to play, right? So you mentioned watching film. Did she ever watch film with you? Was she
No,
that into it or no?
unless we did as a team.
Okay.
She did it on her own. I did it on her own. And
Yeah.
again, I just like if she would have came up and says, "Hey, I'm going to watch this. Would you mind watching with me and kind of help me through things?" I probably would have said yes. She never did. We had assistant coaches that she would probably go to them more things about like that than she would with me. I think for her
Interesting.
it was, I don't want to see another player seeing me. Like she was very aware of that and didn't want to do anything. Like for her, and my wife does this thing called Enneagrams, and like she keeps on telling me I'm an eight, which whatever when she describes it as that. But Bria is the peacemaker, the I don't know what number, I think she's a number nine maybe. She's the peacemaker and she says all these tributes. I was like, that's how she was as a teammate and a player. Like she didn't want, so she would do anything out of her way, and probably knowing that she doesn't want people to say things about it. She wasn't doing it, I think, for herself or anything. It was like she's looking out for me and just like, I don't want dad to, have to go through any struggles. So she would make it like I had her in 7th grade global studies. I had a kid at the end of the year, the last week, said, I've been in the same class this whole time with you and Bria, and I knew you guys had the last name. I didn't know she was your daughter. Well, that was because she did a very like I don't
Yeah.
know. It's just like chameleon like, and that's what the way she was.
It's
So,
funny they wouldn't know at a school like Fairfield. It's not that big.
no,
You would think they would
he had no idea.
know.
Yeah, I don't think he passed my class anyway. So,
That's probably very poor attention to detail, but I think it's great that you guys still have that kind of relationship where my daughter, like 8th grade, we've like kind of neurotic, like we watch game film, we do advanced stats analytics, like I try to treat them, I want them to be ready to play in high school, and she's always begging to watch film, and I always have to make sure that I'm very, very open with all of our kids, so I wouldn't there's nothing I would say in front of her that I wouldn't say in front of them, but I also do need to be cognizant if my daughter's watching with me, I am going to be critiquing her and her friends. But I find that it does make players so much smarter when they watch the film. Like,
100%.
we watched a game, we played Penn, played really well. She had two really bad mistakes and she caught them before I did. Like, I mean, she knew right away. I didn't even have to say anything. She's like, oh, 45 cut. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh, I got face cut there. I'm like, yeah. But like they know it, but I think we it's I've always just been very cognizant too that I've just heard the horror stories and I was very aware of it, so I didn't ever want her to feel that her worth and value in our house is tied to what happened on that court. I think that's such a difficult thing, and you've been able to navigate that well. So difference between coaching boys and girls, because that's a pretty big shift, right? You go from a state title girls team, and then did you take a year off or were you immediately into the boys role?
I was an assistant for a year,
Okay.
and kind of that would have been Bria's freshman year of college. And yeah, so I kind of had that year to kind of, yeah. And I guess, like, I don't know if I told you this, but like, if I could just give like an example of the difference between boys and girls, and there's more than just what I'm about to say, but my example is like, if you call a timeout as a coach, you bring all the girls in, ladies, we're not sharing the ball enough. We got to make the right pass, whatever, whatever. Girls are immediately saying, he's talking about me. Oh my goodness, he's talking about me. What do I have to do to change that? Because I want to please you. Da, da, da. Then let's call a timeout with a bunch of high school boys. They come over to the bench. Fellas, we got to pass the ball better. We got to share it. They're immediately looking around like, which one of these guys is he talking about? Like, because you're not talking about me.
Yeah, I agree,
And
coach. They do need to pass more.
yeah, and that's just that, like, that little dynamic. And it's like, okay, boys can kind of do some things more because they'll venture out a little bit. Most girls, not all, they want to, this is the play, this is what we're doing. I want the coach to please the coach. I want to please my teammates. So they kind of ride that straight and narrow a little bit more. And it's like if both of them could just meet in the middle, guys, a little bit more there.
Yeah.
But it's been interesting because like girls kind of have the care about the team, like morphing a team that cares about each other with girls is actually easier than what a lot of people seem. Like a lot of times people, oh, they're so catty. No. Like once you get them to kind of see and love on each other a little bit more, like, man, it
Yeah.
goes, well, the state championship, it goes
That's
crazy.
awesome.
Guys, like, it's harder to get that, But when you do get it, it's kind of like you, like as a coach, you felt like I actually really did something because all these guys, I want to shoot all the time. I'm being told I'm the best player. And then you get them to come together. Like that's something special between that. But that's kind of the glaring thing, I guess, between the two of them. You know, ball is ball. You know, they all want to, you know, in one way, shape, or form, please and do what they need to do. And really, ultimately, that's the big challenge. And a lot of times, I think boys sometimes like poo-poo on that. But then at the end of the day, we've seen some kids really say, like, I saw the importance of us being together and being more of a team. Girls, I think sometimes they just naturally kind of will do it, but boys, they'll fight it a little bit.
Yeah, that's where our job comes in, right? To help
Exactly.
help make that the X's and O's are a little bit overrated. I mean, not to knock any coaches, but look, anyone who's coaching out there has got some good X's and O's, and if they don't, then just go to three or four clinics and get on some. I mean, you can learn that stuff. Building culture
Yeah.
throughout a program takes intentionality, it takes consistency, it takes attitude, it takes great communication. And just to give you guys a compliment from afar, I mean, Fairfield just has that. I don't, it's obviously coaches are doing a great job, but it just seems baked into the culture. I always joke it's the biggest public private school I've ever seen. It's hard to believe Fairfield's a public school sometimes. Like the culture there is just so fantastic. And you know, you see it with like what you mentioned earlier, your kids are what, 3.85 and all headed off to college and just doing some fantastic stuff. So, as we kind of wind down here, interesting question for you. I would love your perspective because you would know this life probably better than anyone out there who's listening right now, having coached both your son and your daughter. I believe you coached your nephew as well, too, right? You've got like
Got
relatives all over the place.
two nephews, a
Yeah.
niece, and several like first cousins' kids.
So when you're coaching like that many family members, this one hit me like a ton of bricks. It was just this weekend. So I think I've coached like 35, 36 teams over the last 5 or 6 years. Kind of took over some of our youth development programs. So I'm coaching a lot of kids beyond just my team, sometimes even other schools through like OPS and travel stuff. And I was talking to my daughter about, hey, what do you want to work on, or what do you think about some of these workouts? Or hey, I thought about inviting a couple kids from another school just that I really like. I think it'd be good to work out. And she kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit. I said, "What's the matter?" She goes, She goes, I kind of want it to be just you and me. And then I realized there's the balance, there's the pendulum where we're working so hard and pouring so lovingly into others, trying to build a program, that my daughter doesn't want to share as much, right? Or at least not that, but like once that time. So have you been able to navigate that as well, where you are the coach, you're the state champion coach, but you're also dad to a son and a daughter who really would love your wisdom and one-on-one time?
It's you know, outside the basketball court, I think you still have to do as many things as you can as a family, as a with your son, with your daughter, just like normal type things. Whether we used to go to a lot of Notre Dame women's games, we had season tickets, went to a lot of those, did normal things.
Yeah, us too.
Obviously,
I almost pushed this back a half hour. Go Irish. You saw the Ohio State game?
I did. I saw the score. I
Let's
saw
go. Let's go. Yeah.
the score. But you know, just like basketball is something we do. It's not, you know, it's not who we are or what we do. Is it important to the Garbers? Yeah, I mean, it'd be crazy not to, but I think in the long scheme of things, you know, the good Lord asks, like, whatever you're going to go after, like, go after it hard and do it with all your heart, right? And all that stuff. But yet, then there's that, like, get away from it. And I was fortunate enough that I have keys to the gym. You know, we can come into school anytime we want. My policy was, a lot of times I would say, I'm going to the school, maybe to work on something, whatever. Do you want to go with me? And then it was funny how over time that was, hey, Dad, when are you going to school next? Then it became like I just said, I'll go. Like, how many times have you said, how many times have I said no? Well, you might say you have to wait an hour or something, but you never say no. Like, no. At the end of the day, I mean, besides the maybe, you know, the praying with the kids and just talking about you know, the heavenly stuff, not the earthly stuff, besides that type of things, the coming in the gym, the one-on-one stuff, and just working out, and sometimes not even saying anything. A lot of times workouts, it's about just the volume of what you kind of do, and it's just hearing the ball go through the hoop, grabbing it. Maybe I can still dribble it once, throw that ball out. I mean, I'm throwing a guy's ball now, but I can still in my head visualize that 28.5 ball that I was throwing to Bria and those type of things. Like, and we don't even have to say a word, but that was me and my kid just together, whatever that may be. Usually they had some like crappy music on the background anyways that I didn't really like anyways, but
We haven't got to that stage yet, but sometimes
But you know, gym time is sometimes the best time, and it's just I
amen.
guess what we've kind of found out that at times it's kind of therapeutic for us just to throw up some shots and just
Sure.
you know, why are my kids doing it? Well, they're playing at the next level. They're, you know, Brant's going to that next level, so that's kind of why they're doing it. But sometimes you just kind of wonder, maybe we're just doing it because that's great time for us together. And
Yeah.
like you still got a few more years, but I've got
Oh, clock's ticking, man. I'm
two
gonna start crying now.
with one of them, and like, you know, hopefully 3 to 4 with the other. And but that's yeah, it's been a great time. And when they start begging you and kind of, hey, come on, Dad, when are you gonna go? That's that's when it's good stuff.
I've said that before. We had a couple people ask us. They're like, because my wife and I own a few other businesses outside of here, and I actually do more than just talk sports in my basement and coach. But I mean, this time of year, I really don't. I mean, I'm like, it's 7 days a week at a gym. But they're like, do you guys have any like hobbies or interests? And I was like, well, we did up until a couple years ago. I said, but the blessing is, this is not something that our kids are being forced to do. This is something that enriches our relationship and our life, right? Like on New Year's Day, I'm in the same boat. I have keys to the gym, and they're like, Dad, can we go get up some shots? And there's times where I'm like, do you want to work out or you want to just hang out? And usually they're kind of intense. It's we want to work out. And I said, okay, well, if we want to work out, then maybe it is a little bit more coach mode. We might like, hey, your elbow's getting a little loose, or go a little more game speed. But it's just time when they just wanted to spend time together. And for some families, that is like, we're gonna go fishing, or we're gonna go to the mall. Well, my kids like the mall. But I mean, for them, like, they don't want to go fish. They may not want to take a walk. They want to go shoot for an hour. And so as long as they're the ones driving that, and I think that you really hit the nail on the head, and it's not me saying, hey, have you got your 200 makes today? It's okay. And there's been days where I'm like, man, there was one like 4 or 5 weeks ago. I had like 102 fever, and my daughter just wouldn't stop asking. I was like, dude, I am sick, sick. But I was like, I remembered, and I said, hey, look, I will always meet you halfway. I won't do the first half, but I will meet you halfway. And she's like, I want to work out. And I'm like, fine. so I do think there's some real beauty in that. But as long as it's something that they want to do, and it sounds like for your kids, this is something they've always wanted to do. So I'm just curious. I'll pry a little, because you mentioned that your son was obviously a very, very good basketball player, but not your standout, clear cut 1A option the way that perhaps your daughter was. Now your son is also going to Iowa.
Got correct.
So I think that's so tell me a little bit about his recruiting process. I know we're running a teeny bit long, but I think there's some real valuable lesson there, because I think most people think if you're going to play in college, you've got to average X number of points, your first team, all this, all that. Obviously an excellent basketball player, but not the leading scorer or standout on his high school team, still has this great opportunity. I imagine a lot of it comes down to some of that leadership. But what was his recruiting journey like? It was probably very different than Bria's.
Oh, 100%. Like, you know, and part of it is like, you know, Bria just had the look, 6 foot, long
Oh
arms,
yeah, 6 foot guard,
huge,
my goodness.
dribble, do a little bit of everything. Like it was, I mean, she was even like got a couple smaller Division One offers, but like his, like, okay, he's 6'3", long arm, kind of skinny, little slow of foot, like just,
I feel like you're reading my scouting report here.
but can shoot it well and leads like the days go on forever. And you know, he didn't get much interest. There were some Division III, some NAIs that just weren't, when I say weren't very good programs, we'll just say they weren't winning programs. And you know, I remember one discussion like, Dad, I don't like, you know, they won 6 games 1 year and then 8, and like, I don't know, like, even though they might say I have a better chance of playing there or there's more money there, I'd rather have something else. So you kind of focus to these crossroads schools. Like, we haven't told the kids that they have to go to a private Christian college, but we kind of generally direct them that way. We just, both my wife and I are products of Huntington University, that
Good
like
school.
I'm not fully what me standing here. Huntington had a lot to do with where I'm at and building me
Sure.
more as a man later and later on. So I just said, look, like, why don't you just pour your heart out? He sent out a couple emails to like Huntington and Wesleyan, a couple of those schools, and he just spilled his guts and just said, like, I know I'm not going to be that guy that's going to play, ample amount of playing time. I realize that I don't need that to be a part of a team. I want to be a part of something special. I want to be a part of a group of people. I mean, he just kind of
Wow.
laid it all out there.
That's awesome.
And then a couple of schools, Wesleyan being including, and Coach Tonegal, great program, great individual. If I don't know if you've ever had a chance to talk to him, but
Yeah,
people,
we've had Jeff on before and then I've had
and
some communication with him. Yeah.
people need to follow the men's and women's program at Iowa.
Oh,
It was just great.
world
And
class.
you know what? Coach Tonegal did a little background checks. I can't remember the exact number. He says, well, Brant, I called several people, three or four people about you, and nothing had to do with basketball. He was just wanting to know, what's this type of guy? Is he a good teammate? Their mantra at Indiana Wesleyan, which is a great thing, it's called I am third, God
Yeah.
first, others second, and I'm third. And that the way Brant is as a human and the way he plays basketball, that's kind of who he is. And I think what Coach Tonegal saw was, here's a guy that's going to be willing to come part of our program, maybe not play a whole lot. That was really thrown out there. And like, it's these college coaches, as much as your high school coaches have to be real with you, these college
So
coaches will
sure.
be straight up, and they should be, because that's
Yeah.
4 big years of life. But
He's
for
also 18
my
years old, so who knows? There's, I
exactly
mean, there's a
exactly
lot of time, but yeah, sure.
but for my wife and I to be able to like have him go be a part of something like this,
Yeah.
and just knowing that that's what Bria is getting with Coach Whaley and his program. Because like, it was interesting, because Coach Whaley is like, well, what do you want from us as a program? I said, look, we've got our kids to about 18. We tried to work on them, help them out, church, youth camps, other coaches, teachers have poured into them. We've all, like, you're kind of the one. I mean, in college, it's kind of like, I want you to just kind of like polish them off a little bit,
Yeah.
those little rough edges, like help them out. And so when they get out to that real world that's going to be waiting for them, they're ready to go in all walks of life. And super pumped. He's not really, I wouldn't call him a scholarship guy. I'm not, whatever. I don't know if the guy will play a great deal of minutes, but man, he's going to be a part of something special. I think he's going to add to the team, and it's going to have nothing to do with statistics.
That's fantastic. I mean, look, yeah, he's going to be a part of an unbelievable program. Like, we've been incredibly blessed. There's been a lot of support from Iowa. Like, our very first interview was Kyle Mangus, which he was gracious enough to give me an hour of his time. Like, literally after he walked off the court with Victor Wembanyama, I'm like, dude, this has got to be surreal. Ethan's come on, and then Jeff Clark, who I'm sure you've met too, and Jeff has been on there, and then we've actually had some other folks. Trying to do some promotion stuff with the I Am Third and some of the youth efforts they're launching. So just an unbelievable program. I have no doubt that he will amplify it. And 4 years from now, he's going to have a degree from Indiana Wesleyan, which is, I mean, my goodness, like basketball seems to pale in comparison to that. So you've done obviously an amazing job. You're winning all these basketball games. You're producing winners far beyond just mere basketball victories. So, if you had just one bit of parting advice as we kind of wrap up here for all of the parents listening to the Play in Faith podcast who are coaching their kid from elementary to middle school, even at the high school level, it's difficult. It is fraught with all kinds of pitfalls, both for you as the adult and for your child. One bit of advice, parting shots to how to navigate that well and to keep first things first. What would you tell them?
The thing that I guess to start with is, it's probably one of the toughest things you'll ever do as a parent slash coach, but probably the most rewarding thing you'll do, in
Yeah.
hindsight. But it doesn't feel like it going through it. That's the thing. Like, it kind of did. Like, I guess I got better with Brant because he was second. With Bria, as you're going through it, it's just like it was more of the grind stuff. It's like, this, we got to win that next game. And then I was able to enjoy more of the fruits of labor afterwards. And obviously winning the state championship helped. But I guess the one thing is, like, through the difficulty and the hardness, you do have to kind of sometimes step back, and especially if your kid's pretty good, like just have some times where you're kind of like, ooh, like almost like they had a nice move. They had like, why
Enjoy
don't
it.
we as coaches, parent, or as dad coach, mom coach, why don't we celebrate our kids when things are happening just as much as anybody else? I think there was times I cheered more for the Bailey Willards, the Morgan Gothrops, and it was like, why didn't I do the same? Like in for Bria, even more because she was doing more things. So I think finding ways to celebrate, and even if you know what, sometimes it's in front of other people, and the
That's
other
fine.
kids have to hear it, the other parents have to hear it. Oh well. I don't think I did that with Bria quite so much, but I know like when I had this chance with Brant, I tooted his horn a little bit more when I could. Now, maybe that was because he wasn't, you know, the star player or whatever like that. But I think finding ways how that is, I don't know. I didn't do it perfect. I don't know. Finding ways to have joy in what your kid does when they have success. It's okay to go to the locker room. We always have like with the boys, we did some stupid celebration. We'd go running in, throw water, whatever like that. And I can remember one time where I think he had like 6 3-pointers, 6 of 8 or something like that. And just, you know, running up, punching, throwing, pushing them around, things like that. Where would I have done that if it would have been Drew Beachy? Yes, I would have done that. So we say we're going to treat you like everybody else, but can you do that when they deserve all that credit? And I think that's where find those times to do it. Maybe as parents and coaches, we don't do it all the time, but you know what? Your kid deserves that, right? They deserve to hear all that. And sometimes they'll hear it like, oh, that's my coach. But it's okay if they look at it like, ooh, that was my dad, that was my mom. And I think finding those moments whenever you can, do it and knock it out of the park.
I think that's fantastic. Like I said earlier, I mean, the research is overwhelming that it's not that coaches are favoring their child, it's the exact opposite. And I think as long as you are cognizant of that and you keep the compass pointed in the right direction, your players will respect that too. Like, and all our girls obviously know that she's my daughter, but they also know I love them just as much as players and care about them the same way. So, hey, look, obviously I've kept you way longer than I meant to. You guys are doing incredible things. Like I know we are district rivals. I'm a big fan. I hope I don't get in trouble for that one, or sectional rivals. But it's been a joy following you guys both on the men's and women's side. Keep up the great work over there at Fairfield. And then just thank you so much for your time. We'll be praying for your son and your daughter and then college career up at IWU. And look forward to seeing some big things from the Falcons the next couple of years.
Appreciate it.
All right, well, thank you for your time, Coach Garber. It was a blast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playingfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.